I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 644. I'm Paris, and this week I'm joined by Pete.
What up? Still here in Bolivia. Can't get out.
And as you can tell, Danny will not be joining us this week. He felt that his real life is more important than doing this podcast, so I don't know why he would think such a thing. But yeah, it's just Pete and I this week, and I want to remind everyone you can go check us out over at gamertagradio.com. You can also find us at play.it. And Danny, let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. This week's episode is going to be pretty simple. We're going to talk about Ghost Recon and I think our proper review of Ghost Recon Wildlands. Mm-hmm. And after that, I think we might get into a little bit of Mass Effect Andromeda since people have been a little grumpy with me on the Twitters this week. So let's just jump right into this. Ghost Recon Wildlands. Obviously, our history of this goes back to really E3 of last year, where we first got some hands-on time with it, got a chance to talk to a couple of developers, and then, as I'm sure a lot of you that have been listening to the show know, that Pete and I went to Paris, France back in November, and we went to the Ubisoft Paris Studios, and we got to talk to the developers there. We got a little behind-the-scene look at just their development process, and we obviously had a series of interviews with various people working on the game talking about Ghost Recon Wildlands. So obviously we're a little more invested than normally we would be with a particular title when it comes to Ghost Recon. So I just want to make sure all that is known up front before we start talking about the game. But Pete, let's just dive into this directly.
Okay.
What are some of your, just as we've had the final game now, we've had a couple of weeks to play it. What are some of your initial thoughts?
There is way too much land to cover.
Yeah.
I know some of the listeners have brought up the concept of, is open world too much in 2017 video games? It's a good and a bad thing. I really dig the fact that I'm rarely in the same area for longer than maybe in, you know, 20-30 minutes. I'll jump into an area, and from there it's depending on how I'm playing. So for those that have been like in a bubble or have not heard of Ghost Recon, I want to kind of give a quick preface of the game. It's 2019 and you're in the country of Bolivia that was formerly, you know, run by the government. It's essentially been taken over by this cartel called Santa Blanca, and they've converted it into what's called a narco state. Essentially, it's a drug drug sales based government where everything runs up the chain of command up to the leader, El Sueño. Your job as a member of the Ghosts, which is a government agency, is to go in and dispatch the bad guys or buchones and eventually get rid of El Sueño. You play as your character. You can. It's got one of the most detailed customizations for a character that I think is starting to become normal. I mean, we saw it originally in in like NBA, in was it 2K, the 2K series, where you can map your character. You don't get that option here, but you've seen it in other games, and especially like The Division, where you can map out and pretty much flesh out the character so that he looks as much as you as you'd like, or if you want to just go really off the reservation, you just make him look completely different. That being said, you can control yourself and three other AI, or it's you and three of your friends on whether it's Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, or Uplay. Going into the games, there's essentially two different ways to play it. If you play it solo or lone wolf, you'll really get, I guess, what Ubisoft is designing, or the way the story was written, is if you can go in with the AI, because then you can, the way I'm picturing it is when you go in with the AI, you're going in and trying to be as tactical as humanly possible. You know, where you can set up character, you know, you could set up your AI on one side or set them up, you know, if you want to go purely stealth, you can. But if you really want the poop to hit the fan, you play with live. You play on live with people, because things never go as smoothly as expected. People will miss, and then next thing you know, alarms are going off and Unidad is coming in, and next thing you know, you've got helicopters and tanks coming at you. But it depends on how and how you want to play, the people you're playing with, because in instances where I've gone in with some of the people from our Discord server, we go in with the best intentions to stay completely stealth as possible, and one errant shot later, and you know, like I think Beaker from our Discord server posted a video, a GIF the other day, and it was essentially what we were doing. Like, I had the entire Unidad force on me. Like, there was like a two or three purple lights up, and everybody was chasing me, and then him and I think it was DOK Dev from our Discord server were out actually inside doing the mission. And so I missed out on all of that, but I spent the next 5 to 10 minutes running and trying to pick off Unidad soldiers while, you know, trying to survive and not get killed. So in a nutshell, I guess you could say that's almost what Ghost Recon Wildlands is all about. It's tactical when you want it to be, but when things don't go your way, It's action packed hecticness, because nothing ever really goes your way sometimes when you're playing with co-op with other people. And it's almost more fun like that, because it takes the element of surprise and throws it right into the middle of what you're trying to do. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, we can go in the converse, and there's been moments where I go into a specific moment, or we go into a specific thing, and we work it tactically, we work it perfectly, and everybody goes in, does their role, and you know, a few sniper shots or a few suppress shots later, boom, mission complete, you're good to go. But for the most part, I've had so much fun over the last 2 and 3 weeks playing this game, and it's one of those few rare times where I jump back and forth. I'm playing on PC. The last 2 days I'm playing on Xbox Live. You know, it's two different types of environments. It's kind of weird because I'm playing the same things over and over the last, you know, because there's some things that I've done on PC versus there's some things I've done on Xbox, but for the most part, I've kind of stayed the same path of, you know, going around and around and doing the side missions and doing the main missions. But I'm digging the hell out of Ghost Recon. I think this is what I wanted. Like, I know I had a big question mark going into the launch of, is it something that I'm going to enjoy long term? Is it something that I can play for a while? Initially, I'm going to say yes. I can see myself playing this for a long time. I hope I don't get burnt out, because essentially I'm doing the same thing over and over. But that kind of builds, right? It builds that experience of that was somewhat missing. Or actually, I'll step back on that. It kind of reminds me on the Destiny steps, right? Like, what we would do, we would go in, we knew what to do in a specific, engagement, we would do it. And then, you know, a week or two later, you would do it again. And it's kind of like that grind. The only difference is there's not as much grind loot, or there isn't much grind loot to encourage people to play. And I guess that might be the only negative. And I don't want to say as it's a bad thing. You know, they both draw on different experiences to continue to have people continue to play. But I don't know. That's, if I do this for the next couple of months nonstop, I'm okay. I think you get more than your money's worth. And this is before we even get into the DLCs and the season passes and the PvP multiplayer that's coming up soon. I don't have a problem with the game for the most part. I wouldn't give it a perfect score because there's just, you know, just maybe a few things that just don't play right, either from a writing perspective or a voice acting perspective. But it's up there. If we had a 10-point scale, I'd probably give it somewhere probably a 9.5 or something like that. With just, whoa, you know, I that's me personally. Hey, this is I'm having that much fun on this, and I haven't had a game like this where I can go back and forth, and whether I'm playing on PC or playing on Xbox, where I just don't stop playing. So. What do you think?
I definitely wouldn't go that high as far as saying it's like a 9 or a 9.5. So just, I don't want to repeat too many things that you said, but I agree with the open world. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because I think what they've done with recreating this open world of Bolivia, it's just absolutely huge. There's just so many different things that we haven't discovered yet that are just off the beaten path because this world is so big and it's so diverse just in its environment. I mean, you can literally go from snow to desert to rainforest to swamp in this game easily. That, like I said, is such an amazing thing, but it's a curse at the same time because it's so freaking huge, and trying to get from point A to point B, sometimes these missions just take forever. And again, I don't want to dwell too much on the negative, but I would just want to make sure I point out that, you know, the writing in this game, I'm sorry, but it's atrocious. It is. Just some of the banter between your squad and just, you know, with the interrogation things, you know, just they get monotonous after a certain point, and they're corny. I mean, let's just be honest here. They're corny. But at the same time, that's not why you play this game. I would say, from a single player standpoint, because I've tried to do a lot of that just so I can get that variety, don't play this game single player. If you're picking up Ghost Recon Wildlands, you're picking this up because you want to play with three of your buddies. This is not something that you want to play solo. It's not something I don't think you want to matchmake with either. I've done that a couple of times, and your mileage may vary. Let's just put it that way, because communication is a huge part of this game. And if you're playing with three random people who aren't on the same page, sure, it can lead to some funny moments, but it can also lead to some frustrating moments at the same time. Whereas if you're playing with three of your buddies and, you know, something goes off the rails, it's something that you guys are all going to laugh about. It's a moment that you're going to share together, and you're going to be talking about, like, you, there's, again, if you join our Discord channel, you'll see these kind of comments all the time where things just go off the rails, you know, the best laid plans, right? But that's part of the appeal of the game, is trying to go in as stealth as possible, someone forgetting that you're going to go on three and they go on two, and then just alarms go off, and like you were saying, just chaos ensues. But there's also those special moments where everything goes as planned and you pull off the perfect mission, and it's not something that you can just explain to someone that's listening to this. It's something that you have to experience. And I think that's the secret sauce of this game, is being able to go into these various missions and tackle them any way that you want with three of your buddies. Sometimes you're going to have success, sometimes you're going to fail epically, but it's those special moments, whether you succeed or fail, that's going to have you keep coming back to this type of game. You mentioned before it not being that loot driven. I'll disagree in this sense. It's those special weapon caches where you just don't know what you're going to get, and you wind up picking up this kick-ass shotgun or this kick-ass sniper rifle that you weren't expecting, that also drives you want to keep going to do these missions. You know what I mean? I do like the upgrade tree that they have for the various weapons, because it's not overly complex, but it's not simple at the same time. And that, again, drives you to want to do a lot of these different side missions, because you're going to want to upgrade your gear. You want to going to get new parts for it and see how, let me see how this scope works on this sniper rifle, for example, or this assault rifle. You know, you pick up a new stock for it, or, you know, you want to suppress it, things like that. And again, it promotes variety, because not everyone on your squad is going to go into the mission using the same piece of gear. So you're going to be able to tackle things differently. Like you were saying before, and you were talking about this in the Discord channel, you can have scenarios where you draw all the attention on yourself, and then two of your other squad mates basically go around the back way and sneak in and extract the person, interrogate them, etc. Just things like that is what I love about this game. But again, is it perfect? Absolutely not. You know, we've been talking about this since the beta, but the driving, while it has improved, is still not acceptable. The driving and the flying. And I understand that they're trying to strike this balance between arcade and sim, whereas I think they need to just go one direction or the other. You know what I mean? And like right now, it's just so all over the map. Like I'm telling you, for the life of me, I cannot fly a plane. I can't. I can take off. I can get up in the air. But then once you need to get to the point of starting to land that thing, I start getting the sweats and I flip the thing and I crash it and kill everybody. You know, it's just a little moment, like which is just one of the funnier moments that I've had in a game where, you know, all four of us are in the plane and I'm trying to land. And, you know, I think it was actually Beaker. He's trying to coach me through landing the thing. And at the last minute, I freaking panic and I flip the thing and I crash. The plane explodes. Everyone dies except me. of the irony. Right? You know, just stuff like that. But the funny thing is, I can honestly tell you, I have no idea what's going on in the main story. I really don't. Other than I know by the end, we got to get the main dude. What's his name? El Sueño. Yeah, Sueño. I just know that's the end game. But all the stuff that we're doing in between, I've not been following it 100%, and I really don't care. It's that sandbox of the open world that you get with Ghost Recon Wildlands and that co-op experience. And you know, we've talked about this before. I'll just say it again. You mentioned Destiny. Again, that's the draw to that type of game, and that's the draw to this type of game. It's that co-op experience that you're going to have with your friends that keeps me coming back and wanting to play it. And like I said, keep it short and sweet. I won't go as far as giving this a 9 or a 9.5 because I think there are still issues that need to be tweaked by the dev team. To me, this is more of an 8, I would say. It's something that if you have the squad, I would recommend going out and picking up and playing, be it on Xbox One, PS4, or PC. I've been playing on PC exclusively. But if you have that squad to play with, You can pick this up with confidence and know that you're going to get your money's worth out of it. But if you're coming in this lone wolf solo, I'd wait, hold off, see what issues are going to fix, maybe try and find two or three more buddies that you know you're going to consistently play with. I think just my analogy on this is the ultimate Friday night with your buddies game. it's great for that, you know, but if it's something that you're not consistently going to have friends to play with, I would hold off.
I just find it interesting that you don't enjoy the single player at all. And I think part of that, for me at least, it stems from the OP of using the sync shot. If you're playing by yourself, you can go into a much higher level area, and if used appropriately, the sync shot will get you in and out of that entire environment without a single thing going south. And the whole reason for that is because the AI is interminably, like, they're just perfect shots. You will never get that unless it's you that does it, right?
Exactly. So
what I try to do usually is I'll pick the easiest person for me to shoot, and I'll pick the three most difficult from the range that we're at for the AI to kill to ensure that I get it going. Now, if the guy happens to move, or my gun happens to sway at the wrong moment, then yeah, things have an opportunity to go south. That said, though, I'm still going to stick to it. I may have just gotten a little anxious. The coffee may have just, you know, hit me at the right moment. Maybe 9 might be a little too high, simply because of the storyline and the writing. It is a little difficult to follow. It's almost like trying to jump into Lost in season 2 and trying to understand everything that's going on without having caught up with everything from the beginning. The story's okay. At the end of the day, people aren't jumping into this. This isn't a Mass Effect storyline. This isn't an Uncharted storyline or The Last of Us, where you get deeply invested in the characters from the moment you pick up the controller or pick up the keyboard. But it's enough to keep the gameplay moving along. And while at times I agree with you, I wish there was a way to mute your AI characters, because some of the banter is just, I don't want to pick on it and say it's too childish. But having worked with, or have family or have friends that are in the military, it's kind of what you expect, right? You can attest to it. You were in the military. I can't. But from the people that I've spoken to, whether it's friends or family, it's you're hanging out with your buds. You're not going to sit there and talk about quantum physics. You know, you guys are joking. Now, some of these jokes, well, actually, all of the jokes are very repetitious in the game. And that's one of the early digs on the game. Simply, whether it's because they just didn't have enough banter to add, or, you know, you just hit that infinite loop of banter and it does draw on the game. And so there are times where I wish you could just mute your AI and just go into the game and not have to worry about it. Or maybe give me a slider that lets me quiet my AI volume so I don't have to hear them talking, and maybe just let the subtext, you know, the subtitles roll across the bottom of the screen.
Agreed. I mean, that's the reason why I'm saying that I didn't particularly prefer the single player, is because of that banter, which honestly I would just mute and ignore. That's I'm not playing the game to hear the scripted AI talk. Now, if it's three of my buddies and we're all talking junk, Hey, that's real life, right? That's understandable. That's great. But yeah, I could do without the AI stuff. I just, and like you said, I almost feel like the sync shot is almost cheating in a way when you're playing by yourself. And I mean, I use it obviously, but it's just not my preferred way to play. And I guess that's what I'm saying. I almost feel like playing the single player is forcing me down a certain path of how I'm playing the game. Whereas with co-op, you can do whatever the hell you want. Because right. Everyone can take their own role and we can attack it a different way. Whereas with the single player, I can't just go do whatever the hell I want, because my AI counterparts are freaking useless unless I'm doing sync shot. So I'm pretty much having to sneak everything that I do. It's almost a rinse and repeat, tackling every objective the same way if I want to succeed. So I prefer to play with co-op.
Gotcha. So you like the randomness of
exactly
of the errant shot to
but okay. I think that's what will give this game legs, is that randomness versus right. Doing the same thing over and over. You're going to get burnt out on that a month into it. You're going to be like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to play this anymore. And obviously we know with the DLC coming, they're adding more campaign DLC, and then we're eventually going to get a multiplayer component, which I'll be very curious to see how they're going to implement this in this world, because I see a few different scenarios of how multiplayer is going to work in this. And again, with this game being so big, they're also going to have to zone it off, right? They can't just have a true open, hey, go wherever you want, Bolivia multiplayer, or people will just never see each other. So I'll be curious to see what they do with that.
Okay, so there's been banter on the interwebs of whether this game had a worse launch window than perhaps Titanfall 2 that fell between Battlefield 1 and Call of Duty. Would you say that Ghost Recon Wildlands dropping between Breath of the Wild / Nintendo Switch launches and Horizon Zero Dawn on PlayStation 4 may have hindered the response or the potential sales of the game?
Yes and no. I think with the surprise of Horizon Zero Dawn being as good as it is, I think it took away some of the headlines that it potentially could have had leading up to launch. Obviously, Zelda and the Switch, you know, that is its own beast, right? So that was going to have headlines. I think as far as sales go, it stands out between those other two games because it's an open world co-op shooter. So whereas Titanfall 2 ran into the problem where you had three of the same damn game coming out all at once, basically, mm-hmm. right? And it was the lesser of the three. And I'll be curious to see what the sales are on it. I really will. I think the overall sentiment I've seen on social media with Ghost Recon is if you play it, you have fun. But the driving is bad and the writing is bad. That's pretty much wraps it up in a nutshell. I think, like I said, anyone that's picked it up, and obviously we've had people inquiring with us online. There's definitely a general curiosity about the game. Mm-hmm. I think it will be fine as far as not just getting squeezed out because of Zelda and Horizon Zero Dawn because it's so different than those other two games. But I'll be curious. I'll be curious to see what it looks like at the end of the month as far as sales go. But I think Ghost Recon Wildlands has the opportunity, similar to another Ubisoft title, Rainbow Six, where it can pick up steam over time. You know, as long as the development team continues to support it. And like I said, we'll see what that multiplayer component looks like. But I think it has a chance to, maybe it doesn't sell as well as it could early on, but just great word of mouth. And especially if they squash some of these bugs down the road that people, like over the summer, perhaps could start picking it up and it could gain some steam.
Do you think that do you think the game will benefit more later on? A la the Division, once the bugs have been worked out completely?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying when I compare it to Rainbow Six. If you look at Rainbow Six, it didn't sell that well early on. But because that multiplayer was so damn good and it had such a great word of mouth, people started picking it up. And there's actually a chart about it that shows the sales like 6 months later, all of a sudden hit this spike and go up. And it wind up being a successful IP for Ubisoft. And I think a lot of that just depends on what the multiplayer is going to look like. You know, again, just continued dev patch support. You know, we could see a spike for it as well, but I'm not convinced that it's going to sell bad even in March. I think it'll have a decent launch. I really do.
Do you think with Mass Effect around the corner, is that going to hinder or be problematic?
Well, let's, you know,
use
what?
That as a perfect segue.
let's wrap up this Ghost Recon talk. Any other final comments you have on it? And then, let's transition into Mass Effect.
Okay. Like everybody else. I'm looking forward to seeing more than hearing what the PvP is going to be all about. All we've heard is it's going to be 4v4 tactical. What that means, no one knows until we actually see it on screen. But that being said, if you're going to play on console or you're going to play on PC, I don't think there's a question as to whether you should get it. I say jump on it if it's your thing. If you like shooters, absolutely jump into it because there's a little bit for everyone. There's single player, there's co-op, and there's soon to be multiplayer. So I think you're definitely going to get your money's worth simply based on the size and scope of the game itself. And there's plenty of opportunity for everyone if you're into shooters. Now, there's people who don't dig the shooter space and is maybe a little bit much. The amount of shooting and the amount of killing, and it's essentially going in and kill everybody. There are times, and they come few and far between where you come up and you put your guns up on someone and they actually cower in fear. And if you kill them, there's a potential for it to end the game on you. For the most part, it hasn't happened yet. You do get dinged when you kill civilians and stuff like that. But and I guess that might have been Ubisoft's way of trying to add the moral compass to the game. But for the most part, yes, the violence might be a little wanton, but I am extremely digging it. I think it's a no-brainer. Buy the game. I think you'll have a lot of fun.
Right on. Well, with that said, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Mass Effect Andromeda.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Pete. So, Mass Effect Andromeda. I've been catching it past few days because, Mass Effect, by the time people are hearing this, it'll be Monday, the day before its official launch. People have the opportunity with EA Access to play 10 hours of Mass Effect Andromeda. I think you can do the first mission or something like that, and then it stops you. I canceled my pre-order. I've decided that I'm not going to play Mass Effect Andromeda anytime soon. Nothing I've seen, now that people have had a chance to play it, has convinced me otherwise. And this isn't the final game yet. We don't have a final review code or anything like that. This is just me, Paris the consumer, talking right now. Nothing I've seen has convinced me that this game does not have issues. It looks, on the outside looking in, it looks like a game that EA needed to get out before a fiscal financial year, is what it looks like to me. It looks like this game could have used probably a good 6 months of cooking time before it came out. Obviously, there's the animation issues all over the place. Like, again, we talk about writing. It looks like the writing is kind of all over the place with certain NPC characters. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, this kind of feels like Mass Effect 3. Well, for me, that's a problem because I didn't like Mass Effect 3. So I wanted something closer to 1 or 2. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. I know they're saying that there's all these worlds that are big and to explore. But then again, what I've heard is there's just a lot of filler in between that stuff. I haven't heard too much about the side quests as far as them just being fetch it quests. Maybe there is some variety to them. But I'm just at that point where I got to wait, man. Again, we talk about Ghost Recon. You talk about, there's For Honor, there's Horizon Zero Dawn, there's Zelda, there's all these games that are out right now. I'm not going to invest my time in a mediocre game. That's just me. There has to be the Destiny stuff's about to come out again. If there's games I want to play, I'm playing Gwent all the time. I'm not going to invest my time into Mass Effect Andromeda and ultimately feel like I'm just getting something that's so-so that I'm not truly enjoying. And I'll take this back to Mass Effect 3. Felt the same way with Mass Effect 3. Obviously, it was the sequel to one of the greatest games ever, in my opinion. Started playing it midway through. I kind of lost my way with it, and it took me a long time to actually finish it because I know when people were talking about that original ending and how much they hated it, I never saw it because I didn't even finish the game until they had patched it out. And Mass Effect Andromeda, for me, is looking to be something similar. And I can wait. There's not a rush for me. And when I say that, that's a damn shame because I wanted Mass Effect. I wanted this to truly be the next generation of Mass Effect that was going to push this franchise forward. And I was going to just fall in love with it all over again. And it just does not seem to be that way. So for me, that's a disappointment. I'll be very curious to see what the final reviews look like, which by the time you guys are hearing this should be coming out because I'm pretty sure the embargo ends on Monday. But I'm expecting this to be like a 7.58 type of game. That's what I think it ultimately is going to be. And in comparison, I just gave Ghost Recon an 8. The difference is the co-op, right? There's that human element to it that's why I want to play it. And Destiny's actually similar in that. Destiny ain't no freaking 10 game. But if you're going to give me a single player game that's going to be a 7 or 8 and it has all these issues to it, I can wait. That's just me. So I'll shut up. What do you think about all the news that we've seen about it so far?
It's funny how people or the the internet. We'll just call it the internet, right? It's funny how we've seen the waves of positive and negative speak on the game has like just it's flexed back and forth, where one day it's good, one day it's bad, one day it's good, one day it's bad. I remember early last week, you had just checked out, right, based on what you had seen and heard. But that was like one site versus five others saying it was so good. And then literally 24 hours later, that had all juxtaposed right back to the negative speak. And there was hardly any positive speaking from a review perspective or from people saying it's their first 5 or 6 hours. Considering this game has so much history and lore with gamers, and if you look at the sheer number of hours and hard work that was put into it, it's breathtaking in the fact that from the research that I've been able to do, this has every single BioWare studio, over 200 employees working on it, more than any other Mass Effect game in the past. There's 5 years of development alone on Mass Effect Andromeda. Again, more than there was on the original Mass Effect, which was 3 years. Mass Effect 2 had 3 years of development. Mass Effect 3 had two. This game has had 5 years of active development with all of the studios, with all three of the BioWare studios involved. And the end result is less than ideal. It's less than, it's definitely, I guess you could call it a disappointment based on what we've seen, based on the experiences we've all seen. We've read and we've heard and we've seen the videos of the character creation. And I think you had posted this, the juxtaposition of the characters, what they looked like in 2007 and what they look like 10 years later, 2017. And it's stark. Like, it's scary. Like, we've almost gone backwards. And it's hard to fathom. It's hard to understand how a game could at one point be so, could be at the forefront of what video games were going. And now it's almost taken a step back. While some of the more common things, the open space ways, seeing from a graphical perspective, a backdrop look is beautiful. But then when you start to, really dig into some of the imagery, it's not as good as what we were hoping for. And I think that's the right way to phrase it. I'm concerned for it, and I don't know if games such as Witcher 3, where we have such high hopes, does that set the bar so high that games moving forward can't touch it, right? Every game after that is going to be a disappointment until the next big. And I'll just use Witcher 3 as kind of how everybody uses Jordan in the basketball terms. Until we get the next Witcher 3, that's going to set the bar and everything is just going to fall on its face. Again, we haven't had a chance to physically actively review it. We'll be there with everyone else on day one buying it and hoping. You said you're not going to. I don't think I'm going to jump day one and buy it. I think Danny said he was going to. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Well, he does for us all the time, but go ahead.
Well, this is true. But yeah, all of that is enough to scare me enough to take pause.
And here's the thing, man, because I know we're going to catch it over saying this, because obviously Mass Effect has a very hardcore audience and community. My thing is, man, I'm very picky about the games I invest my time into.
Unless, and we should be.
Hey, Yeah, you absolutely should be. But hey, some people have more disposable income than others. Some people have more time than others, right? Mm-hmm. You know, now if we get a game for a review, yes, we're going to play it start to finish to completion. We're going to talk about it, right? If I'm going to go out and spend my own money on a game, then I need to be convinced before I even pick it up. The days of me going on blind faith alone are done. I don't do that anymore. It's very rare that I blindly run into a game. I need to see something beforehand. I need to understand something about it that's going to convince me to run out and go pick up said game. So when it came to Mass Effect, and you guys know you've been listening to this for long enough, it's been a freaking roller coaster of emotions with me for Mass Effect, where I'm like, oh, I'm getting it. I'm like, oh, I don't know about this, man. Something about this doesn't seem right. Blah, blah, blah. You know, had some people, you know, whisper in my ear, tell me a few things, got me all excited again. But then when I see the end result, this isn't the Mass Effect that I want, right? And so much so that I didn't even want to bother with it on EA Access. I could have spent the $5 and played the demo, but I'm just like, this, I can do other things with my time right now. And I am, and I will. And this is not to dissuade anyone listening to this. If you're all in on Mass Effect, God bless you. Go get Mass Effect, play it, enjoy it, do your thing. But I'm not doing this as Paris, the co-host of Gamertag Radio. This is Paris just, hey, I'm about to go out and spend $60 on a game. There's other things I can spend $60 on. So that's what I'm going to do, because I already have enough games to keep my attention. I don't need Mass Effect right now. I can wait. I'd rather see what other people are saying than to go out and just blindly get it. And I'm not sure what I'm going to get. And what I have seen so far has not impressed me. And that's just me. Other people, it may impress you. You want to go do that. Look, I'll take it back 2 years or 3 years, however long it's been at this point. But Witcher 3, I've literally, the PC that I'm staring at right now, I built it because of that game. Because I had seen so many things about it that had 100% convinced me that, you know what, I want to play this on PC because I want to experience this the way it is. And ultimately, I was rewarded for it because, like you said, to me, it's the gold standard right now for open world RPG games in this space. You know what I mean? And Mass Effect is not going to live up to that for me. I can sense it. So if I'm wrong, great. I'll go get it and I will enjoy it and say that I'm wrong. But I'm just not seeing it. And like I said, to me, like you mentioned that there was 5 years of development time, I'm convinced something happened midway through and they started from scratch. There's no way this is a 5 years. Kiss my tuchus. There's no way this is 5 years of development time. Something happened in the development process and they started over. I'm convinced.
You and I chatted about this earlier in the week when we were discussing this whole, you know, what changed? Is it the loss of Casey Hudson? Or I'm sorry, is it the loss of the doctors? And I think it was Casey Hudson that left, right?
Yeah. Casey Hudson left. The doctors are gone. Look, there's still people from the original Edmonton team that worked on this game. Don't get me wrong. But I almost feel like this. I'll really take this back. And it was funny because I was talking to Jay. Because, hey, we're going to record Remember When next week. But
man, I've been hearing this for months. I know, until it happens.
I know. But anyways, him and I were talking about this. And we said this years ago. When EA bought BioWare, this isn't BioWare anymore. I feel like Mass Effect 2 started development when it was still BioWare. It was acquired midway through, went to EA, and I still think it was, quote unquote, a BioWare game. And obviously that bared out. Name me something BioWare has put out since that has captured you that way. For me, nothing. You mean Fetch It Sim 101? And again, I'm not trying to trash EA or BioWare, but I've just not been impressed with BioWare games in a long time. And this just looks to be another example of that. That's all I'm saying. So, again, I don't want to keep repeating myself. Just to sum this up short and sweet, I just feel like this is a game that I can wait on. And I'll just give that advice to anyone listening to this. Unless you are 100% convinced about a game, unless you're just this multiplayer guy that you got to play multiplayer day one, why are you pre-ordering? Wait. Unless there's some incentive or some need, in 2017, you can wait. And that's the advice I'll give anyone. Wait, make sure you have an educated opinion about a game before you go invest your money into it. Okay. That's it. I'm done. I'll shut up.
No. And as we've said, at the end of the day, it's going to be subjective. You know, some people are going to like it. Some people are not going to like it. I'm still going to stick to the guns of wait and see on this one. There's no need to jump all in on something like this. And it's a shame. I don't want to, maybe, and maybe shame is just a really harsh way of saying it. I want to say that the writer from 3 is the person that's running Andromeda, Mac Walters. I want to say, I think he was, if I'm looking at this correctly, Mac Walters has been involved since 2. So that can't be a bad thing, right? You've got that, you know, and you still have Drew Karpyshyn, you know, writing along with him. So it can't get that much worse. That being said, I think, you know, I agree with you. The loss of the Doctors didn't help BioWare in general. From a Mass Effect perspective, I think we definitely see the difference. It's akin to how we've seen Halo evolve from the point that it used to be a Bungie title, and now 343 is trying to pick up the pieces and trying to move forward with it, and they're doing the best they can. Not to say that, you know, they're not working hard. I'm pretty sure that they're doing their best, because nobody works to fail. But I think, I don't know if we just need to give it time. Maybe it needs to bake, and maybe this is a game that, similar to how the reviews for Iron Fist, you know, initially people were saying it was horrible, but upon first viewing, I've been enjoying it. Maybe it's something that's just a slow developing game and it takes time.
I mean, it could be. I mean, again, we'll see. That's why I'm saying, wait, there's unless someone's twisting your arm, there's no reason to run out and go get Mass Effect right now. In my opinion, just my opinion, I could be 100% wrong, but we'll see. I will say this. You have any final comments on that? We'll probably just go ahead and wrap this up at this point.
No. Again, wait and see approach, I think, is the best. Considering, just simply because of the amount of negative press that the game has gotten, had we seen a 50-50 split, I might be on the by day one, but because it's been more negative than positive, I'm just gonna keep hold on the wait and see approach, and wait till the fire dims on Wildlands for me personally.
And I will say this as well, because BioWare has even put out an official statement on this, just to end this. People are attacking this female that worked on the facial animations, you know, at EA or whatever for this game, because obviously that's one of the big issues that people are talking about, the facial animations. She's being attacked online, which is ridiculous. These people, look, whether you love the game, hate the game, anything in between, this is their job. This is how they put food on the table, right? So whether it winds up being perfect or it looks terrible, don't attack someone because they didn't make something to your liking, especially a female online attacking and, you know, just all the despicable things. I don't even want to give this too much shine other than to just say that we need to knock this off. This is why we talk about blessings and a curse. This is why social media is a blessing and a curse at the same time, because it connects us all on a global level, but then it all also the idiots, it gives them a platform to attack people, and it just need to knock it off. Again, you can go look this up and see the whole story behind it. I don't want to give it too much attention other than to just say this kind of stuff needs to stop.
Agreed.
And on that negative note, I guess we'll go in the podcast. But I'll just say this: as far as you're bringing up Iron Fist, and then we'll get out of here. I'm in agreement with you. We, and this is what I'm saying: don't listen to us. when it comes to reviews and all that, don't listen to us. Make up your own damn mind when it comes to these things, because, you know, all I've seen for a week is how bad Iron Fist is, right? Oh, Iron Fist is so bad. Oh, it's so terrible, the first six episodes. I'm literally at the same exact point where the reviewers got to watch it. I've watched the first six episodes. It's fine. Is it perfect? No, of course not. But it is nowhere near as bad as people are saying at all. And maybe that was a good thing that I went in with such low expectations and then I watched it and judged it for myself. And I'm like, okay, well, why is this bad? I don't see it. Hey, look, if anything, I could stare at Joy all day. So I'm good. I'm good. You know what I mean? No, it's fine. Iron Fist is fine. I don't think it's bad. And I see, if anything, I see where they're setting it up for the back end. Because, again, you have to understand, Danny Rand is such an – he's not a known quantity to the average comic fan or you know, television watcher. So they got to explain his story. They have to – you have to get his origin out of the way. And I feel like that's what they've done in these first six episodes. They're getting that origin story out of the way, and he's learning to become the Iron Fist. So I'm fine with it. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched it, but – yeah, like you said, I think it's fine, and I'm looking forward to watching the back half of these episodes.
Yeah, that's going to be me today. I purposely did all of the house chores yesterday while the wife was out, just so that we could free up the afternoon today, so we could just watch all of it. And yeah, we're just going to binge it this afternoon. I think I'm going to hit the gym first, though, because if not, I'm just going to melt into the couch.
Yeah, exactly. So anything else before we get out of here?
No, that's it. That's it. And I'm more of a Colleen Wing fan now, I think, instead of Joy.
Oh, yeah. She's great, too. She's great. It's fine. This show's fine. It's fine. The show's absolutely fine.
Actually, so, question.
Sure. Go ahead.
Do you think the Ward character is as character-hating as Kilgrave from Jessica Jones? Because I think
Again, I don't want to spoil anything.
Just based on the character and the way that he's portrayed or acted, because David Tennant did a phenomenal job with the Purple Man, with Kilgrave. And I have equal hatred for both characters. Like, I almost put Ward alongside the Boy King from Game of Thrones. That everybody
hated. No, we're on opposite sides of the fence of that one. Clearly, okay. I think there's definitely some layers to Ward, and I'll just leave it at that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, hey, everyone, if you're listening to this, go watch Iron Fist and make up your own damn mind. How about that? So, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. So, again, thanks, Pete. Thanks, everyone that's been listening. Danny should be back on the next episode. And like I said, Mass Effect reviews will be out then, so I'm sure we'll still be talking more about Mass Effect. And I know I had a great conversation. I'll end on this. I had a great conversation on Facebook Live yesterday. I wound up talking for like 40 minutes, and we're going back and forth talking about Iron Fist, and we got this whole thing about Project Scorpio and PS4 Pro and all that. And we actually have a voicemail that we could have played today, but we're going to wait till Danny's back, because, you know, it's directed at him and myself. And I had some people trolling me on Twitter, trying to hold me accountable for something I said, I think, 9 months ago about PS4 Pro, which I find funny. So we'll talk about that on next episode, because I think that's a great conversation to have. But any last things, Pete?
That's it.
All right. Well, this has been episode 644 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete. And we'll see you guys next episode.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.